Today's daf is Tmura daf Chav Hey. We left off, we actually finished pretty much daf Chav Dalad yesterday. We just have the last couple of words, Yalda Tum Tum Vandroganis, going back on the Mishnah. We started the fifth parak yesterday, and the Mishnah discussed if a person says about an animal that's pregnant, that Masha B'mei Eha Shalzu, that if it's a Zachar, then let it be a Karbonola. Whatever's in the womb of this animal, if the fetus in the womb is a Zachar, let it be a Karbonola. If it's a female, if it's a nekeva, let it be a carbon shlamim. So the Mishnah discussed the various possibilities, that if it gives birth to a male, so that's an ola. If it gives birth to a female, it's a shlamim. If it gives birth to both a male and a female, male's an ola, female's a shlamim. If it gives birth to twin males, then one of them is an ola, the other one is sold the tzarchi ola, and the money is chulin. If it gives birth to twin females, one of them is shlamim, and the other one is sold the tzarchi shlamim, and the money is chulin. But the last line in the Mishnah says, what if it gives birth to a tumtum androgynous? So Rabbi Shmuel Amiel Omer, ain kedusha chala alehin. If it gives birth to a tumtum androgynous, then there is no kedusha at all. Now, we had discussed yesterday in the Gemara that the various cases of the Mishnah were actually discussing different circumstances, that some of the cases of the Mishnah were talking about vlados kachim, or cases where the mother was already, hekdesh was already had kedusha of a karban, and some of the cases were talking about vlados chulin, where the mother was a regular chulin animal, and you were only being makdish the offspring, and the mother never had kedusha to begin with. So the emtsiisa, the middle case of the Mishnah, was talking about a case of vlados kachim, and the kedusha of the mother is not chal, and the last case that we spoke about was talking about vlados chulin. That's how we said yesterday. So when we say yod the tumtum vandroganus, which is the very last case of the Mishnah, when Rav Shmuel Gamliel says that the kedusha is not chal on them, we're assuming, Rashi points out in the top Rashi of Chafei Amin Aleph, that we're going back on both of the previous cases, both when the mother was kachim and when the mother was chulin, still there's not going to be any kedusha on the tumtum vandroganus. Meaning, even if the tumtum vandroganus were born of a mother that itself is kachim, still it will not have kedusha. Says Rashi in the top, va'afilu emtsiisa nami kai davi vlados kachim va'afilu kedushas iman eina chala alehen dastam ein kedusha ka'amar. And how do I? And even the kedusha of the mother will not be chal in the offspring, because that's all the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said ein kedusha chala alehen, and that implies no matter what the case is, whether the mother is kachim or whether the mother is chulin, the kedusha is not going to be chal on this tumtum vandroganus offspring. So says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara. Amai ein kedusha chala alehen. Why not? Why shouldn't the kedusha be chal on them? At least if the mother is kachim, let the kedusha of the mother be chal on the offspring. So, because Rav Shmuel Gamliel, vlados kachim bav yasan hen kedoshin. Because Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds that vlados kachim only become kadosh not when they're in utero, when they're still in the womb, but only when they're actually born out into this world do they become kachim, and do they become kadosh. And these animals, by the time they're born out into this world, it's clear that they're tumtum vandro. They're not fit to be kachim. Tosus compares them to balei mum, that there's something fundamentally wrong with them by the time when they're still inside. If they were to become kadosh at the very conception, so then there's nothing wrong with them at conception. They're not yet a tumtum vandroganus at conception. But if the kedusha is only chal when they come out into this world, well, there's already something wrong with them by the time they come out into this world, and mimela there's not going to be any kedusha chal on them. Because if you were to hold that they were to become kadosh already in the mother's womb, amayin kedusha chal alehen, why would there not be kedusha chal on them? Hatafsetinu kedusha diimayu. Shouldn't the kedusha of the mother from the very conception already be chal on them at the very beginning? Elishmamina. So we see that it's clear vladikachim avyasin in kedushim, that the Tana of our Mishnah must hold that vlados of kachim only become kadosh when they are born, when they come out into this world, and no earlier. And since in the case of our Mishnah they are a tumtum vandroganus by the time they come out into this world, mimele kedusha cannot be chal on them. Says the Gemara, but not everyone agrees to that idea, that vlados of kachim only get their kedusha on their way out into this world, because v'hai tana savar vlad kachim meimnein kadoshim. The following tana in the brisa that we're about to quote holds holds otherwise. Holds the Vlade Kachim are already Kadosh Meiman, they're already Kadosh in utero. The Tanur Rabban, because you have a price as follows. Ilu Nemer, had the Pasuk just said, Bechor lo Yaktish. The Pasuk talks about the halacha that if you have a Bechor, you're not allowed to be Makdish it for another Karban. You can't be Makdish it with some other Kedusha. So had the Pasuk said, Bechor lo Yaktish, a firstborn, do not be Makdish. So Yis Yomra, what I would have thought that means is, Bechor lo Yaktish Hektashos. That a firstborn human being is not allowed to make animals Hektish. That it's a limitation on a human being who is a Bechor, that he's not allowed to make things Hektish. That's what I would have thought, that Bechor, that's who we're talking to, lo yaktish, you may not be maktish anything. So Talmud Lomar, that's why the Pasuk says, ish oso, that the oso, the it, is the Bechor. So a man cannot be maktish, the Bechor, cannot be maktish it, the Bechor. So that's how we see that it's about an animal that's a Bechor, that you're not allowed to be maktish for other hektashos, not about a human being. Oso yata maktish, aval maktish adam Bechor hektashos. You can't be maktish a Bechor, but a person who is a Bechor can certainly be maktish hektashos in general. But vadayin ani omer, even so, even with the words ish oso, I still might have said, hulo yaktish, aval yaktishu acherim, that a Bechor cannot be Makdish another, a Bechor animal. A Bechor person cannot be Makdish a Bechor animal for other Hektashos, but maybe other people could be Makdish a Bechor animal for other Hektashos. Meaning I might have thought that yes, Bechor is referring to the person, and Oso is referring to a Bechor animal. So I would have thought that yes, that a Bechor, that this is a halacha that's limited to a Bechor person not being able to be Makdish a Bechor animal for other ektashos. But other people can be maktish a Bechor animal for other ektashos. Tam lomar bivehema. Bivehema sakti. That's the way of the Torah telling us, no, this whole thing is only about the animal. We don't care who the person is that's being maktish. The rule is that an animal that is a Bechor, one, no matter who that one is, one may not be maktish for other karbanos. So yachalo yaktishan bebeten, I might think that you can't even be maktish it while it's still a fetus, while before it's even come out into the world. Tamalomar sheyevukar la'Hashem, mishayevukar la'Hashem yatamaktish. Only when it's mevukar la'Hashem, only once it comes out and is born, you can't be maktish. Avlata maktish bebeten, but you can be maktish it while it's still a fetus. So if you, and that was the case of our Mishnah of Ketzan Marim and al-Bukhar. How do you get out of kedushas Bukhar? Well, while it's still in a fetus, before it has kedushas Bukhar, so declare some other kedusha on it. Yachal afladei kala kachim kena. This is the key line. I might have thought that the same is true of all other kachim. That if, let's say, a karban chatos or a karban ol or whatever is pregnant, I might think you can still be maktish the vlad for other things because it doesn't really have its kedusha yet until it comes out into the world. Tamalomer ach. That's why the Pasuk says, ach, to tell me no, it's tafka din by Bechor, but by all other kachim, it already, the fetus is already kadosh in the womb of the mother. Alma svirle, vlad de kachim, mime'ei iman hein kadoshim. So we see from here that vlad de kachim already have kadusha mei iman, they already have kadusha while they're a fetus in the mother's womb, unlike the shita of our Mishnah, which assumed that all kachim only have kadusha on their way out, not already inside the mother's womb. Period. That's the end of that discussion. Amalei Rav Amnon Rav Sheshes. So Rav Amnon asked Rav Sheshes, what about the following case? Amar al Bechor. A person says about a Bechor, im yitzias rubo ola. There's a female animal that's pregnant with its firstborn, and you are not being maktish the animal right now. Instead, you're doing the following shtick. You're saying that when the majority of the animal emerges from the womb, at that very moment, I wanted to have kedushas ola. Now, if you would just say I wanted to have kedushas ola right now, so great, that's the case of our Mishnah. That works. Then it would be an ola. But if you say that I want, as the majority of it emerges, meaning at the moment of birth, I want it to be a carbonola, so then what's the din? Because at that very self-same moment, it's supposed to have Kedushas Bechor. Which one do we assume is dominant? So now, both Kedushas Bechor and Kedushas Ola are going to be vying for this animal. Which one is going to win? Which one is going to overpower the other? So if you say about the Bechor, that when it's Yitzias Ruba, when at the very moment where it should first get Kedushas Bechor, I want it to be an Ola. So Ola havi a bechor havi. What is it? Is it an Ola or is it a bechor? Ola havi the kalporto, porto the kanafik who kalil. Do we assume that it's an Ola because every little bit that comes out is kalil, meaning that that every little bit of the animal of an Ola, meaning we're trying to figure out which kedusha is more intense and therefore which kedusha should win. So do we say that kedusha's Ola wins because you burn the whole thing on the mizbeach and therefore that obviously reflects a very intense form of kedusha? A bechor havi the kalporto. Or do we assume that it's a bechor that that every little bit that comes out is a petarechem? That is, each bit comes out, it is the petarechem. So lishna achrina, another way of saying the question is sheken kedusha chayla alei odilma bechor havi sheken kedusha somerechem. Should we say that ola is more intense because the kedusha is chal on it? You are able to declare kedusha on it, or should we say bechor is more intense because it's already kadosh mirachem, it already is what it is. So it's not that you are being maktish every bit that comes out, it already has that kedusha on its own. So which kedusha is more intense? Samalei, mighty bayilach, what kind of shayla? Hainu debay ilfa, that's exactly what Ilfa asks, so it's not a new shayla. What did Ilfa ask? About a different, in not in kachim, he asked in zra'im. There is a halacha called leket, that when you are harvesting your grains, if one or two stalks fall out of your fist, out of your handful, while you're grabbing the grains, so those grains are called leket, and that is hefker la'aniyim. Ashirim aren't allowed to take it, aniyim are allowed to take it. That is in contrast to the general din of hefker. If you make something hefker, anybody is allowed to take it, an ashir or an ani. But leket is one of the matnos aniyim, it's limited to only aniyim being allowed to take it. So Ilfa asked this shayla in regards to leket. Amra la leket, if you say about leket, im nishiras rubo yehei hefker, that as the majority of the stalk falls out of my hand, I want it to be hefker. So leket havi o hefker havi, that's the exact moment that it's supposed to be leket. So which one is dominant? Is leket dominant or is hefker dominant? Which one takes effect? Leket havi shekein kudushasom bidei shemayim, or the mehefker havi shekein zochem v'aniyim v'ashirim. Should we say that leket is a more important and intense kind of chalos because that comes from shemayim? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares leket, you don't have to declare it as leket, all you need to do is drop it and Hashem makes it leket? Or do we assume hefker is more is dominant because hefker applies to both aniyim and ashirim? Both aniyim and ashirim are allowed to take something that's hefker. Leket may only be taken by aniyim. So which one wins? From Rabbi Loti Baile, Rabbi says no shayla. Divrei Rava, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomim. Which one is more dominant? Well, the one that Hashem declares, not the one that a person declares. So when the majority of it falls out of your hand, you're declaring it hefker. Hashem is declaring it leket. Hashem wins. So it's leket. So to over here, Hachnami divrei. Over here also, when the majority of this fetus comes out, Hashem's declaring it a Bechar, you're declaring it an Ola, well Hashem wins, because Bechar is coming straight from God, Ola's coming from you, and Hashem beats out any designation that a human being is going to try to give to the animal. The Brisker Rav points out that Rashi's presentation of this Gemara seems to be that the idea of Divrei Rav v'Divrei Talmud is that since both Kedushos are supposed to, are vying to be Chal b'basachas at the same exact time, so you have to figure out which Kedusha is stronger, and that Kedusha is therefore going to win out. Which Kedusha is going to be Chal first? And since Kedushas Bechar and the Din Leket are midivrei Rav, they come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore they are Chal first. But certainly there's no problem, there's no fundamental flaw with your ability to be Makdish. You're being Makdish at a time where it still belongs to you. You're being declaring something Hefker at a time that it still belongs to you. It's just that there's something else happening at the same time. It's not that it's already not in your Rishus and therefore your Hektish is a flawed Hektish, or your declaration of Hefker is a flawed declaration of Hefker. It's just that it's competing with something stronger than it. That's what it seems from Rashi. However, if you were to look in the Rambam, in the fourth parak of Matnos Aniyim, Halach Yudalid, the Rambam writes that if someone is Mafkir Leket, Im Nefilas Rubo, that someone declares that when the majority of the stalk falls out of his hand, it's going to be Hefker, it's Eino Hefker, Me'acha Shenasha Rubo, Eino Bo Rishus. because once the majority fell out of his hand, it's not his. And if it's not his, he can't be mafkir it. Sounds like the Rambam holds that there's a chisaron in the ikar maisa hefker, that you're being mafkir a davar she'ino shalo. Again, that's not what Rashi said. Rashi understood the sugya is you're being mafkir something that's shalo, but at the very same time that you're doing that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is declaring something else about that grain, and he's declaring that it's leket, so Hashem wins, it overpowers your hefker. But not that there was something fundamentally wrong about your hefker, that it wasn't in your rishus to be mafkir in the first place. So Briskov points out, it seems that the Rambam is against our sugya, Dever Rav Dever Talmud, it seems to be much more about how Rashi describes it. So the Briskov says what you have to say is that the Rambam holds that the Yisoda Din of Dever Rav Kodmim is not because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a stronger say than a human being has. It's because not because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's inherent power as master of the universe, as God. Rather, it's because Divrei Rav is that Mikoach Divrei Rav Maisa Hegdish VeHefker Shelo Betelim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it out of your Rishus, and that's Hafka in your Maisa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it out of your Rishus by saying that it's going to be Leket, by saying that it's going to be a Bechar. Hashem says, now you don't get to say anything about it. That's the mechanics of Divrei Rav. Meaning, says Brisk Rav as follows. Let's say you were Makdish it after the entire stalk fell. You were Mafkir it after the entire stalk fell to the ground. Or you Makdish the animals in Ola after the entire animal came out of the womb. So then it's obvious that it doesn't count as Hefker, it doesn't count as Hegdish, because you were Mafkir or Makdish something that's in a Shalom. The only suffix is if you do it while it's not yet a Bechar, or it's not yet Leket. You do it as it's about to become a Bechar and Leket. In that situation, you still have a Dine Mamanis in the Behemoth or the Tavua. It still belongs to you. So Abaye is Mechadesh, the Divrei Rav Kodmim, that since the Torah says that this Tavua has to be Leket, and you want to make it Hefker, your Maisa is Batal. And even though the Aniyim don't have Dine Mamanis in it yet, they have not yet acquired it. It's no longer, it's not yet their money, but still immediately it has a shame leket, and it has a din of leket for everything to the extent that you're not able to be makdish. That's the shitas of Rambam. That's how the Rambam must understand our sugya. Okay, new Mishnah. We're in the third wide line. Chafeim and Aleph. New Mishnah. If a person says that I want the vlad of this animal that's designated as a carbon shlamim to be a carbon ola, I want the vlad to be an ola, so that's fine. Even though the mother is a shlamim, the vlad is able to be an ola. The kedusha of the vlad is going to come before the vlad takes on the kedusha of the mother. Apparently, the vlad is only going to take on the kedusha of the mother on its way out. So when you get it before, it's on its way out. When it's still in utero, and you say, no, I want it to be an ola, so that's fine, that works. He shlamim vlad ola, hareza vlad shlamim divra meir. If you are makdish the mother and the fetus at the same time, but you just say the words about the mother first. You say the mother is a shlamim, and its vlad is an ola, so the vlad is considered a vlad shlamim. That's Rabbi Meir's shita. It's going to be considered a vlad shlamim. Now, the case of the reason that it's vlad shlam, Rashi explains that aval amar he shlam bereisha la'aim l'kol de'isba aktish, that when you say the mother is a shlam, you're being makdish it and everything inside of it. The chashav vlad the makdish ba'an pe nafshe, and it's considered that you're being makdish the vlad independently, and therefore v'havik makdish shtei behemos l'shlamim. It's as if you're being makdish mother and fetus independently, separately, each as a carbon shlamim. V'chi hadar amar vlada ola, and when you then backtrack and say, no, let the vlad be a carbon ola, have a vlad shlamim. The vlad is still going to be a shlamim. Over here, it doesn't even get into the discussion of, well, is it Bavyasan in Kedoshin? Is it Bimeiman in Kedoshin? The machlokas we had at the top of the Amud over here. When is the Kedusha Chal on its way out? When it's still in the mother? That whole discussion is if you're makdish an animal and then the animal becomes pregnant. So at what point is the Kedusha Chal in the fetus? Is the Chal in the fetus inside the mother? Is the Chal in the fetus on its way out? because you were never makdish the uber, you were makdish the mother, then the uber's kedusha is going to be chal on its own. It just comes straight from its mother. But when you're makdish an already pregnant animal, then the uber is able to be makabel your declaration of kedusha. And Rameir holds that if you say two things, we listen to the first thing that you say, and therefore when you were makdish the mother as a shlamim, you were makdish the mother and anything inside of it as a shlamim, and it's therefore viewed as if you were makdish the mother and the fetus separately as karbano shlamim. Memela, when you then say let the fetus be an ola, that has no effect whatsoever. That's Rameir Shita. Maybe you really meant to say the whole time, even when you said the mother's a shlamim, you were planning the whole time and saying that the Vlad should be a carbonola, and you just couldn't say two words at the same time because you're a human being. You can't say two different sentences at the same time. But at the same time, you were makdish the mother as a shlamim. You didn't mean to be makdish the Vlad independently as a shlamim. No, you want to be makdish the Vlad as an ola. So if that's the case, then the Vlad is in fact an ola, because the peh, the mouth, is simply not able to be medaber shnei dvarim keechad. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rameir, who says tfos lashon rishon, that we always listen to the first thing you said. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, af begmar dvar vadam nitfas, that we even listen to the last thing you said, because the last thing you said is considered as if it were said simultaneous to the first thing you said. You just don't have the ability to physically do that. But halachically, that's the way we view it. V'mishamar harezu shlamim, nimlach v'yamar vlada ola, harezu vlada shlamim. But even Rabbi Yossi admits that if when you said the mother is a shlamim, you had no intention of making the Vlad an Ola, and only later you changed your mind and you said, oh, you know what, let's make the Vlad an Ola, then even Rabbi Yossi would admit that both the mother and the Vlad are a shlamim, that the Vlad does not have the status of an Ola. Period. Now says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Hifrish chatas mu'beres v'yolda. Let's say a person is marfrish a carbon chatas that is pregnant and it gives birth. So ratza b'mischaper, ratza b'vlad mischaper. You can use either mother or baby as your carbon chatas. You have the choice. Frekt Rashi, wait a second. Isn't a vlad chatas one of the chatos hamesos? So he says, no, d'chi amrin vlad chatas l'misa azil, hani mila b'kdishol b'sof nesarba. That's if your makdish an animal is carbon chatas, then it becomes pregnant. That vlad chatas is l'misa. But if your makdish a chatas that is already mu'beres, if your makdish an animal that is already mu'beres, the ubar is considered chashuv enough to be mekabel its own kedusha, and not only mikach imo, it's considered to have its own kedusha. It's as if you're makdish shtei chatos tachrayus. If you have a pregnant carbon chatas, a pregnant animal that you are makdish as a carbon chatas, so it's considered as if you were makdish two separate animals as a carbon chatas. So you could choose whichever one you want to get kapara with. So my time. What's the reason that Rabbi Yochanan holds this way? Kasav Rabbi Yochanan shiro mishriyar. The Gemara is going to assume for pretty much the next Amud, almost the rest of the daf till the very end, that this is the svara for Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to attack Rabbi Yochanan on the basis of the assumption that this is the svara, that imshiro mishuyar, that if you leave out the Vlad, you say that the Vlad would be chulin and the mother would be a chatas, then that would take effect. The mother would be a chatas and the Vlad would in fact be chulin. If you wanted, you could have not been makdish the Vlad at all, meaning the Vlad is an independent entity from the mother. So therefore, when you are not mishayer the Vlad, when you don't leave the Vlad out, you just say let it be a chatas, where you're declaring about the whole package, mother and fetus as a chatas, we still view the Vlad independently, and therefore the Vlad is an independent carbon chatas. That must be Rameir Svara, and that's why you could choose to be mischaper with whichever one you want, because we view the Vlad as an independent carbon chatas. That's the svara we're going to stick with for a little while now. That's what Rabbi Yochanan must hold. That imshiro mishuyar, the Vlad and the mother are independent of each other, and therefore when you say about the package that it's a chatas, it's ki'ilu you're making two independent carbonos chatas. Uber lav yerchimo, tavle kemafresh techatos, achrayos. The fetus is not just a limb of the mother, and it's as if you're taking two separate animals and being matched both of them as chatos, lachrayos, in case something happens to one of them. And therefore, ratza mischaper ba, ratza mischaper, bechavirta, you want to be mechaper with one of them, good, you want to be mechaper with the other one, also good, whichever one you want, just like being mafresh techatos, lachrayos. So most of Rabbi Lezer asked them that, wait a second. He shlamu vladaola, hares of lach shlamim. The Mishnah says that if you say that the mother should be shlam, the vlad should be an ola. The vlad is considered vlad shlamim. But if you say that the vlad is independent of the mother, hareza vlad shlamim, hareza shlamim by misna. It shouldn't say it's a vlad shlamim, which implies that it gets its kedusha from its mother. It should say it's a shlamim, meaning the whole point of saying he shlamim the vlad ola. The reason that even the fetus is a shlamim is because we assume that when you said he shlamim, it meant that both mother and child. But if the child is not considered part of the mother, it's an independent kedusha, so it should just be shlamim. Why do you call it vlad shlamim? Why do you say that it's a vlad shlamim? It's its own independent carbon shlamim. So Amar Rav Tavla Bar Mina Dayhi says, no, that's not a raya. Amar Rav Latana Tani Harezu Shlamim. We have to change the words of the Mishnah. That Rav said that you have to, when you teach that Mishnah, don't say Harezu Vlad Shlamim. Say Harezu Shlamim. That's the more accurate reading of the Mishnah. You got to read in the Mishnah the right way. So may say the Gemara attacks Rabbi Yochanan again. Homer the Shivcha, so if a person says to his Shivcha, Hare At Shivcha, Uvladach Ben Chorin. I want you to be my Shivcha still, but I'm giving this Shtar Shichrur for your Vlad, that your Vlad should be a free man. And she's pregnant. Imhaisa Ubra Zachsalo. If she's pregnant, so then the fetus is in fact free. The shivcha is still the shivcha, but the fetus is in fact free. So yeah, b'shlamim shiro eino mishuyar. I understand very well if you're going to say that when you try to leave something out, it's not considered left out, meaning when you try to leave the fetus separate, it's not considered to be separate. V'ubar yerech imo, and the ubar is just considered part of the mother. Mishum hachi zachsalo. That's why the fetus can be free. V'avaleke meshachar chatziavdo, because it would be just like being meshachar half of neved. And there is a Tana, Reb Meir, that holds that you're able to do that, that you can be meshachar half of neved. So when you give a pregnant shivcha a shtar shichrur, and you say, I'm being meshachrur your fetus, it's not an independent entity, it's part of the mother. So it's as if you're being meshachrur half of the mother. And umani rameiri, and we're assuming like rameir, that that's okay, that that works. Kidetanya, like we learned in the Braisa, ha meshachrur chatzi avdo, yatza l'cheirus, that if you're meshachrur half of your eved, so then half of the eved is yatza l'cheirus, gito v'yado, ban kachas, and it's able to, the eved is able to acquire his own shtar shichrur for half of him. But if you're going to say that when you leave out the fetus, it would be considered left out, it would be considered a different din from the mother, what you're saying is that the fetus and the mother are independent of each other. Ubar lav yerchimo, the ubar is not just a limb of the mother. Well then, amai zachsala, why would the mother be able to acquire a shtar shichrur on behalf of the fetus if the fetus is considered a different eved? After all, if I own two avadim, I can't give one of the avadim a get shichrur and say, you should acquire this on behalf of the other eved while you remain an eved. It doesn't work. Vatanya, we have a braisa, nirin she'eved zocha lekabel get shichrur shel chavero miyad rabo she'eno shalo. V'lo miyad rabo shalo. If Reuven has an Eved and Shimon has an Eved, Reuven can give Shimon's Eved a get shichrur saying, acquire this on behalf of my Eved. That could work. But if Reuven has two Avadim, he cannot give a shtar shichrur to Eved A saying, I still want you to be an Eved, but I want you to acquire this on behalf of Eved B. Now in the case of the pregnant Shivcha, if we're going to view the Vlad and the mother as independent of each other, if we're going to say, Shiro Meshuyar, that the Vlad and the mother are independent of each other, so when you're giving the mother a get shichrur to free only the Vlad and not the mother, it's as if you're giving one Eved a get shichrur to acquire on behalf of the other Eved. But that doesn't work. El Shmamina, so what do we see from this Braisa? From the fact that the Shivcha mother can be mekabel to get shichur on behalf of her vlad, we see him shiro einu meshuyar. We see that it must be that the mother and the vlad are considered a single entity, that they're not considered separate entities. So the tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan tiyufta. So that's a bomb kash on Rabbi Yochanan, because again we're working with the assumption that the reason Rabbi Yochanan holds that if you're mafresh a pregnant chatas and it gives birth, that you could choose mother or vlad to receive your kapara with, is because Rabbi Yochanan holds mother and vlad are independent of each other, and it's as if you were mafresh two separate karbanos chatas. But over here we see that mother and vlad are not independent of each other, that the mother and vlad are one entity, that it's ubar yerech imo. So says the Gemara, that's true, you do see that from this brisa, but maybe it's not necessarily a kash on Rabbi Yochanan, because it could be that it's a machlokas tanaim. I mean, just because there's a brisa against Rabbi Yochanan, could be Rabbi Yochanan has his own tana to hold like, lema imshira meshuyar tanaihi. Maybe whether the vlad is considered an independent entity or part of the mother is in fact a machlokas tanaim. Titania, because we have a brisa that says as follows, ha'om l'shivcha, so a person says to a shivcha, harei at baschorin, uvladach eved, let's say, you say to your shivcha the opposite of what we were just talking about. Not that she should remain a shivcha and the vlad should be free, but that she should be free, but the vlad should remain an eved. So vlada kamoa divrei Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, no, the vlad is going to be whatever the mother is. The chum amrim dvarav kayamin. And the chum say, nah, it could work. Let the mother be free and the vlad will be an eved. Mishum shneamar, he isha v'yeladeha t'yeladoneha. Because the pasuk says that the vlados are just like the mother. So that the woman and her children stay with the Adon after, let's say, an Eved Ivri is given a Shivcha Kananis to produce offspring from, and then 6 years of the Eved are up, and the Eved goes free, the Isha and her offspring remain with the Adon. So, Frak the Gemara, wait a second, that was backwards. We just said that Rabbi Yossi Aglili held that the Vlad is like the mother. Chacham held the Vlad and the mother are separate from each other. And we said, oh, how did the Chacham know the Vlad and the mother are separate from each other? Because we have a pasuk that says Vlad and the mother are the same. What do you mean? That was the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. That's not the sheet of the Chachamim. We're quoting a pasuk. So, Kram, my Talmud of the Rabbanan. How's the pasuk get all a raya to the Rabbanan? Adarabba, it's a raya to Rabbi Yossi. So, Amarava, Kral Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, the pasuk is really coming to teach me for Rabbi Yossi Aglili's sheet. Diktani Vlada Kamoa. The Rabbi Yossi Aglili is one that said that the Vlad doesn't have the same status as the mother. Shenem, Arisha Viladat, Yiladoneha. Bismanchi, Isha Ladoneha, Vlada Ladoneha. Only when the mother is going to remain a shivcha will the vlad remain an eved, but if the mother is going to be free, mele the vlad is going to be free as well. What is the nekudas hamachlokas here between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan? Why is it that Rabbi Yossi holds that if the mother is free, the vlad is free, and the Rabbanan could hold the mother will be free, but the vlad in utero, when it comes out, is going to be a ben chorin, so is going to be an eved rather. So my labakamuthi, isn't this the machlokas? Rabbi Yossi sever shiro einu meshuyar. Rabbi Yossi holds that the mother and the vlad are one entity, and therefore they have a joint destiny. Whatever is going to happen to one will happen to the other. For Rabbanan Savri, Meshuyar, the Rabbanan hold that they are independent of each other. So, and therefore, it's Rabbi Yochanan's statement is subject to a machlokas tanaim, and Rabbi Yochanan will be holding like the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Yossi. Says the Gemara, Amalach Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan might even be able to argue that everyone would hold that they are independent of each other. Even Rabbi Yossi, who says that that if you're trying to free the mother and keep the vlad as an eved, doesn't work. The vlad goes where the mother goes. Even Rabbi Yossi would hold that they are independent of each other. Why does the vlad then go where the mother goes? V'hacha haynu taima damar kra ha'isha v'yiladet hiladoneha. It's exeris hakasav over here, dafka, that by a shivcha, when you happen to have a Shivcha Kananis and her offspring, they have a joint destiny. But that doesn't mean any time you have a pregnant anything that its fetus is part of it. It could be that its fetus has an independent identity. So if you want to say that it's a Machlokas Tanoim, we could attach it to the following Machlokas Tanoim. Not to that one, because that one, Rabbi Yochanan, is a way of explaining both Tanoim to be going like him, that they're independent of each other. You want to say that it's a Machlokas Tanoim, whether Shira Meshuyah or not, it's the following Machlokas Tanoim. Ditanya, Hashochet, Asachatas, Matzah, Baben Dalid Chai. Let's say you shech to Kamer Chatas and you find a fetus in the fourth month of pregnancy alive inside the mother. So, Tani Chada, Enechel Sal Zichre Kunavein, Enechel Sal Yom Echelvein, Enechel Sal Fnimen Aklaim. So one Tana holds that it's treated exactly like Karban Chatos. It can only be eaten by male Kohanim, and it can only be eaten for one day inside the Kalayim. It's got to be eaten with the full Kedusha of Karban Chatos. V'tanya Yidach, another Bryce says, Nechals Kaladam, Nechals Kalmakam, Nechals Yolam. Treat it like Chulin. No restrictions whatsoever. So my love, Tanai, the Tanakama Savar, isn't this the Machlok's Tanayim where the Tanakama holds Shiro Mishuyar, that they are independent of each other, and therefore each one has Kedushas Karban Chatas, both mother and fetus have Kedushas Karban Chatas, and that's why the fetus has to be treated with full Kedusha of Karban Chatas. Umar Savar Shiro Eino Mishuyar should be, and the other one holds that they are not independent of each other, that they are very much connected to each other, and therefore once the Vlad comes out, it does not have a separate Kedushas Karban Chatas from the mother. It doesn't have its own Karban Chatas. It's a Yerech Imo, and therefore it's going to be not going to have any restrictions. It's not considered its own, the Vlados Kachim will only become Kadosh through the birth, and this is not Vlados Kachim because it never had a birth, and therefore it's going to be full Chulin. Comes out ironic that if you say Shiro Einu Meshuyar, that if you say that they're one entity, so then the fetus is not a Chatas, even though the mother was a Chatas. Because if they're one entity, that means that the only time the fetus is going to have its own independent Kedusha is when it's born. But this fetus never got to be born. You shechted the animal and you found the fetus. Mela, the fetus is going to be Chulin. So don't you see this is the Machlokes? So Malach Rabbi Yochanan say no. Maybe everyone would agree over here that they are independent of each other. Here's what they're arguing about. The whole machlokas is when Vladi Kachim gain Kedusha. Is it Bimeiman or is it on their way out? Or you could say, kind of, they're not arguing about Shira Meshuyah or Reina Meshuyah. They're not arguing about whether they're independent entities or not. They're talking about different cases. One is talking about where you were Makdish at first and then it became pregnant. The other is talking about where it became pregnant and then you were Makdish it. That if you would have been Makdishit Mu'uberes while it was already pregnant, then for sure Shira Meshuyar. Then everyone would agree that they are independent of each other. The only reason that there's one that sounds like Mshiro Eina Meshuyar is we're talking about you were Makdishit before it was pregnant, and then it became pregnant. That's why we assume that they're one entity. So Maskef LaRava, Mimai Detaimed Rabbi Yochanan Mshiro Meshuyar. Now is where we call into question the entire assumption we've been working with for the last Amud. Remember, all Rabbi Yochanan really said, his statement was, if you're mafresh a pregnant Karban Chatas and it gives birth, you could choose fetus or mother, whichever one you want to use for your Karban Chatas. We assumed that what Rabbi Yochanan meant by that was that the mother and the Vlad are independent entities. Says the Gemara, maybe not. How do you know that the reason for Rabbi Yochanan saying you could choose mother or fetus is because Shiru Meshuyar, that they're independent entities? Dilma Hainu time with Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan just holds a person could get kapara with an outgrowth of Hegdish. That it's not that it's an independent entity, it's something that grew from Hegdish, and that's good enough. You can get kapara with that as well. So I'm like from Nuna, Rabbi Lazar Talmidei de Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lazar was the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. V'yasvul kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, and he sat in front of Rabbi Yochanan. V'lo ahadulei haishinuya, and he never gave that answer. Rabbi Yochanan never said, no. Why are you asking about Shira Meshuyar? What are you asking me for? Hacking me from all these places, Shira Meshuyar? That has nothing to do with my psak. I'm just talking about Shvach Hegdish. He never said it. And you want to say that that's the svara for Rabbi Yochanan? Come on. He would have said it if that was his svara. He would have defended himself with that. Fine. Imisham raises Shlomim Nimlach. Then the last line of the Mishnah said that, according to Rabbi Yossi, that when we're not always tfos lashon rishon, that it's just impossible to say the same thing, two different things at the same time. And therefore, if a person says, let the mother be shlamim and the vlad be an ola, the vlad could still be an ola. But that's only if that was your original intention. But if you changed your mind, you originally wanted to make the mother and vlad shlamim, and then you change your mind and you say, you know what, let the vlad be an ola instead. So then the vlad is definitely not going to be an ola, even according to Rabbi Yossi. So says the Gemara, Pshita of Vlad and Shlamim. Obviously, in that case, Vlad is going to be a Shlamim. That was your original declaration. What? Whenever you want, you could just change your mind? Obviously not. I mean, what's Rabbi Yossi teaching me in the last line of the Mishnah? Your Makdish Shlamim is a Karmen Shlamim. 2 weeks later, you say, you know what? Let it be an Ola. Of course you can't do that. It's too late. The Kedusha is already Chal. So I'm Rav Papa, L'mitzcha L'sham B'tokah De'Dibur. Now the Kedusha of Rabbi Yossi is that you still said it within Tokah De'Dibur. Ma'otem B'tokah De'Dibur K'Dibur V'ayunik T'Kamayin Hu T'Kamayin. I might have thought that Tokah De'Dibur is still considered within the same breath, and you're still, it's not considered definitive until Tokah De'Dibur passes and you haven't been Chozer. It's not considered a definitive statement yet. K'mashmula, and therefore comes tell me that it's still considered a definitive statement. Rashi writes that there's a machlokas. What is Tokh de Dibur? The machlokas is a Masechta Baba Kama. Some say Tokh de Dibur is Kdei She'elis Rav L'Talmud, Shalom Alecha, which is a very short amount of time. Some say it's She'elis Talmud L'Rav, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Mori, which is a little bit of a longer amount of time. And according to Rashi, the maskana of the Gemara is that there's no din of Chazara of within Tokh de Dibur by Hegdish. That's what our Gemara is telling us. Tokh de Dibur does not work by Hegdish. However, says you have to say that the shear of Tokah De'Dibur over here is K'she'ilas Talmud L'Rav Shalom Alecha Rabbi Mori, and you can't say that it's K'she'ilas Rav L'Talmud, because according to the Maskana of the Gemara over here, we say that we don't apply Tokah De'Dibur, and L'Chora that's against the klal in all of Shas of Tokah De'Dibur's K'Dibur Dami. So you have to be mechalik between two Tokah De'Dibur's. That which we say Tokah De'Dibur's K'Dibur Dami, that's K'she'ilas Rav L'Talmud. That's the shorter Tokah De'Dibur. When we say that, when it's She'elas Talmud the Rav, which is a slightly longer shear, then you can't be Chozer. That's our Gemara. So it turns out that Hektish is the same din as everywhere else, according to Tosos. I mean, the way Rashi understands it is Tokah De'Dibur means something. It's either Talmud the Rav or Rav the Talmud, but it means the same thing in Gantz Shas. So in Gantz Shas, Tokah De'Dibur works. Hektish is an exception. Tosos says no. Hegdish is the same din as everywhere else in all of Shas. It's just that we're defining Tokah De'Dibur differently. In Gantz Shas, when we say Tokah De'Dibur is K'Dibur Dami, that means Shalom Alecha. In over here, by when we're saying Tokah De'Dibur is Lav K'Dibur Dami, that's Shalom Alecha, Rabbi Umari. The Rambam and Tosos Menacha seem to all like Rashi, that by Hegdish there's no din of Tokah De'Dibur. Because Hegdish, and the Kiryas Sefer explains, because Hegdish is Chal even by Machshava. So by Hegdish you don't get a little extra time to play with, because by Hegdish the Chalos happens much more easily. It could even happen by Machshava. Okay, there's obviously a lot more to say about Tokah De'Dibur. Maybe when we get to some other sugi of Tokah De'Dibur, but tomorrow we're going to start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Hayam Beis.